Hello all, welcome to Up the podcast made by the fans, for the fans. Grab yourself a drink, put your feet up and listen in. And by the way, there could be some strong language.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this late night recording for an early release on Wednesday morning. As the hosts that I've got with me today are going to discuss the recently released retained list. Tonight, I've got Dell, Lods, Max, and I am Ashley. We're going to try and keep this as short and sweet as possible because there are some surprises, there aren't some surprises, but let's go first. Max, tell me what you think about what you've seen this evening.
I think the general consensus among us is I don't think that we've been as ruthless as we should have been, as we could have been. I think there's some excellent points that's been made that Darren Ferguson has come out and has basically said keeping this team up is one of the best jobs he's done. And he's done an excellent job this season to keep this team up. And only four players have been put on the transfer list. Which I can't believe, and same with the release. So I think it's a disappointing transfer list, end of season list to look at. I think we were all in the camp that there'd be more names on that list. I'm probably not going to go into the specifics. We'll follow up on them later in the episode. But I think the general consensus is we're all a bit disappointed with how things have gone. And if what Fergie was saying that this is the best job he's done and there's only four people on the list, then I don't really know how does that correlate. There should be more people on the list then if we think that these players are of a standard below League One or relegation in League One. Is this where we're deciding the club should lie? I think it's all to see in the future, but I don't see why there hasn't been more players on the list.
Yeah, it's a pretty boring retain list, isn't it? Is what I tweeted. I think a lot of us were expecting some more names on there on the transfer list after the season we've just had, as you've quite rightly said, Max. But I have to admit, I'm not surprised in the slightest. I think there was hints that the team that we played in the last couple of games of the season was going to be the one that we persisted with next season. So to see only one surprise name on the transfer list, essentially, is probably what I expected. It's a sad time, really, to see that this is how far we've fallen. Looking at some of the names we've had in the previous seasons and sort of the excitement to see whether we could retain them or whether we're going to try and sell them on. And now we're looking at this list thinking, blimey, where are we going to be finishing next season? And I think it probably just sums up where we are financially. We're not going to be able to invest in this squad. So we're just going to retain what we've currently got. And unfortunately, what we've currently got isn't what we've had in the previous years.
Yeah, I think you're right. There is a significant lack of strength in what we've got. So I'm just going to quickly run through some of the ones that I don't really think need too much discussion, just in case there's anybody that hasn't seen the retained list. So David Ajiboy and Kabongo Shimanga have departed the club. We've then got youngster Aaron Powell, who played 50 games this season for Kettering, has also been released. Again, somebody that I don't think many of us have heard of. So again, what impact is he going to have on the first team? That's fair enough. We've obviously got Hector Kyprianou has gone. Ricky J. Jones will leave, but we hope to get a tribunal fee for him. Kwame Poku, after his pair of gongs this season, will also hopefully get a tribunal fee. Then as we work down the list, Teo Adun has been offered a contract. Sisoho and Katongo have returned to their parent club. Sam Hughes has also returned to his parent club. Now, I am going to throw a little spanner in the works here. I think that there was a genuine slip-up and not that somebody forgot. I think that the reason that Sam Hughes wasn't put on the list originally is that there is a done deal. and that there has been a faux pas, because to all intents and purposes, whenever the transfer window opens, Sam Hughes is signing for us. That may be true, that may not be true. I am purely speculating, but I think that that is probably what we can take from that, is that whoever's made the list has gone, well, he's definitely going to say it. He's definitely going to sign the contract. He's going to be our player. So why would we include him on the list? Then others of note, under 21s released, Tyler Young, Mikel Campbell, Justin Asagi, Jensen Sumnul. Again, we never really saw a great deal from them, did we? So some of them were probably, hopefully, with the potential that we could give them another year. They haven't. And then some scholars released and some under-18s offered contracts. Obviously, Andre Changunda, who played at the weekend, Joe Davies, Noah Freeman, and Fabian Claxton, who has an extension to his existing deal. So the first point, and I'm going to throw to Dell on this one, the first most interesting point is probably Jed Steer has asked to have his contract terminated for personal reasons. Dell, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, my thoughts are, do you know what? I actually, as everybody know, I put him down as a keeper. I don't think he's the best keeper that we've ever had. And I don't think he's the worst, but I think he's like sort of that steady, the steady keeper that, you know, and he's a League One. But the fact that he's asked for his contract to be cancelled, I don't know what to make of it, if you know what I mean. Personal reasons. Now, obviously, we could sit here and we could set up rumours left, right and centre. He don't like the club. He's had a fallout with Dara Fergie. He don't like this, he don't like that, or he really wants to be closer to home, or, you know, coming in to do training twice a week is far too much work for him. I don't know. But the fact that he's asked for his contract to be torn up and not sit on the bench or whatever, and because we don't even know if he was going to be retained or whether he's going to go on the list anyway. You know, so we don't know from that, but I don't know. The fact that a player asked for his contract to be ripped up, was he really that unhappy here? Was, do you know what I mean? There could be speculation all over the place, but do you know what? It's now put us in a bit of a situation on the goalkeeper side of things, because I actually thought he would be either the number one or number two for us next season with a fresh keeper coming in potentially, but, well, he ain't. So who is? What's going to happen on the goalkeeper side? But, you know, we won't talk about who's coming in on this show. I think we'll do that on another one. But interested on the goalkeeper front, out of the three, the two that I said keep are either gone or on a transfer list. And the one that I said needs to go be released has been retained. So what the fuck do I know?
Yeah, I think that's it, Dan. What do you know? That's clearly the consensus of what we've found out here, is that whatever you say, do the opposite. Look, personal reasons could mean anything. Steer has a child, and there genuinely could be a personal reason behind that. It could be anything personal. It doesn't have to be a fallout. It doesn't have to be he's unhappy here. It could genuinely be anything. And I think if we look at it on a surface level, I think everybody here would have invested in a goalkeeper in the summer, probably. I thought we needed to invest in a number one. I wanted Jed to be the number two and have that experienced head in Steer. He's gone now, so we won't have that experienced head in goal. So I'd like to sign maybe an older goalkeeper, not massively young, but not too old, probably about 24, 25, that's had experience and can command the back line, is what I'd like. But we need to invest in number one. And that is the biggest part of this whole transfer list, or retain list, or whatever you want to call it. The biggest part of this is we need to sign a number one goalkeeper as a top priority this summer. If we look, Blackmore in the last three games, he was very hot and cold. He showed some promise. I don't think he's a number one keeper at this level yet. I don't think we should give him the opportunity to be a number one keeper for a season. I think he should be our reserve, or we should sign two goalkeepers and sell him or loan him or whatever. I'm happy with him being the number two. He's clearly awesome in the dressing room, and all the players love him, as Lods mentioned. And Lods said that he'd keep him as a third choice keeper. Look, if Blackmore's our second choice keeper, then that's whatever. He's clearly good in the dressing room, so I've got no quarrel or qualm with that. but number one has to be signed, as in probably one of the first signings that we make. If Sam Hughes is already done, then that's fair enough, but we desperately need a goalkeeper. 100% need one, and as soon as possible. But look, I wish Jed all the best. He came in. It was a part of those fantastic memories that we got last season, especially at Wembley. Well, the season before now, where you know we won at Wembley and finished fourth, and he was a part of the memories of this season of winning at Wembley again and the penalty saves at Wrexham. So he's made memories for life here. And if it's his time to go, it's his time to go, and I wish him all the best. But we genuinely need, as a top priority, to invest money into a goalkeeper. Not a loan, no loaning, a money on a goalkeeper that is our keeper. Please, please, not a loan.
Yeah, I just want to second your comments there on Jed and his the time that he's given us over the last couple of seasons. He's actually, we're the only club that he's managed to play 50 games for. I've just looked it up. Obviously, he spent a lot of time at Aston Villa, but he only played 36 times for them. So I imagine we're probably quite a big part of his career as well. I think you're quite right. I don't think he lives locally and he has got a small child. So I don't know if that's played a part in his decision to want to leave the club. Regarding filling that hole, look, I don't think we're going to sign a goalkeeper with money, Max. I think that a loan deal is probably what we're going to end up doing. We went for a period of loaning goalkeepers a few years ago. It didn't really have any sort of negative effect. And Project Bielo clearly hasn't worked, has it? We spent some money on Bielo. We wanted to develop him. We wanted to maybe turn a profit on him just to prove that, you know, we can develop goalkeepers and make profit on goalkeepers the same way we do on other positions, and it hasn't worked out. We've transfer listed him. It's a shame. I really like Bielo. I like him as a person. I think he's a great shot stopper, but it's the other bits that he can't do, which is the reason why he's on the transfer list. He can't play out from the back, and Darren Ferguson wants to play out from the back, or at least he's being made to by Darren McAntony, who said he wants 600 passes per game. We just won't do it with Bielo in goal. And it doesn't look like we're going to adapt to Bielo's strengths, which is just shot stopping, really, isn't it? Not playing out from the back. So if we do manage to sell him on, I wish him the best of luck. Like you said, Blackmore, I think, comfortable number two. We just need a strong number one goalkeeper. I don't mind if it's on loan, but I think experience is important with this one. The times that we've had goalkeepers in the past that they've done all right for us have had a little bit more experience than maybe some of the ones that haven't done as well.
I'm going to be honest with you all. I feel like a piece of me has been ripped out. I know that I put Bielo on my transfer list. Oh, I'm absolutely gutted, and he's not even left the building yet. There's a chance that he may still be here come July, or come August, come September, but it wasn't a surprise, but I'm still gutted. One of those ones. We know he has his flaws. We know he has his limitations. But as Harry mentioned, when we recorded the pod and our own personal retained list, I don't think that we see the best Bielo for 5 years. And that is, unfortunately, the way of life, in that he doesn't... We can't afford to keep him for 6 years, 7 years, just so that we see the best of him. We are right now in the here and now, and at the moment it's looking a little bit bleak, isn't it? And it's a little bit grim as to what we've got next season. I think that when you look at the list that we've got, obviously Jack Sparks, that was a banker. Brad was a banker. Wakeling is ultimately the forgotten man. So to only have four on the transfer list, quite surprising, I think. There is, of course, a caveat to that, in that I think that it's good to say that Mother Seal is on the transfer list and Archie Collins is on the transfer list. They should probably be on the transfer list, because we're doing that thing like Lodz and Harry both mentioned. They're in the last year of their contracts. If somebody comes in and they don't want to sign contracts, then we'll sell them. So to all intents and purposes, they are on the transfer list for now. And if people come in, we will accept the offers for them. I can't say that I feel like we're strong. You look at the list and there's no great surprises there, but where's the strength coming from? We've seen these players for the last three games, four games. I just can't see the strength, and especially losing somebody like Jed Steer, you just lose like ultimately an entity, somebody that will give you 30, 35 games a season, solid games as well. And yeah, I don't really know where we go from here, to be honest. I don't want to be negative, but unfortunately, you look at what's going to be left in the building, there isn't a great deal left, is there?
Do you know what? Looking at the what you said there, a couple of players, like in years gone by, with the likes of Malik and the likes of Collins, it will be put on the transfer list in brackets, entering the last year of their contract. And obviously that's not happened this time. Have we changed our structure? Have we changed things? But I think what we need to be absolutely crystal clear about is all these names on the retained list under contract, if a bid comes in from, would be snapping their hands off within reason for most of them. Because let's be honest, from the season we've had with all these players, the fact, as you said, only made four available for transfer. Something don't sit right. Why we're retaining so many of these players, why we haven't got so many of a fair amount of them on the transfer list. Because quite clearly, as a squad, it wasn't strong enough last year. Is it going to be strong enough this year with this same group of players? I'm not convinced, if I'm honest. I'm just looking through the list now, and you know, I'm not going to go through individual names again, but you just look at it and it doesn't fill you with confidence. Hopefully I'm proved wrong, but it's just a lot of them that, come on. I know we've done our retain list and whatever last week, but really, all of these retained under contract, not even put up for available for transfer. I don't want to speak out of turn, and I don't want to sort of like whatever, but it feels like the cheap option, if that makes sense. You know what I'm trying to say? We're like, normally we'd like, okay, let's reinvest and let's do this. But you look at these and how little people we've put on the transfer list. I've echoed that again, is we're keeping all these players, and let's be honest, majority of them were pretty shit this season, but yet we're keeping them again, we're retaining them again for this year. You know, we got one that was that is being on the transfer list that when he did come on showed a spark, you know, probably one of our better spark players, if that makes sense. And I don't mean Jack Sparks, I mean Brad, you know, because he's got a shit attitude, we're assuming is on the list. But other players that actually are shit footballers or have not been very good, we're retaining them. For me, it doesn't make sense. It really, I don't know, it's not making sense. It really isn't. So I don't know. Are we setting ourselves up for another fall next season, or do we genuinely believe that the squad of players, what is there, 20 odd of them that we're keeping, plus one or two additions, are going to get us fighting for promotion? Don't want to be negative, but I ain't confident that this is going to be a good season next year, looking at this list.
I'm going to play devil's advocate a bit here, because I've seen a lot of people outraged on Twitter that there aren't more names on the transfer list, and I completely understand. We've had a really disappointing season. You would think that we'd just rip the whole squad out and start again. But given the comments that we've heard from both Darren Ferguson and Darren McAntony, I'd like to know which players you're expecting to see on the transfer list. I might have to throw this back to you, Del. I know you're not great with names, but like, Chris Clark's contracted to 2027. Danae Brian Brady, 2027. You love Ryan de Havilland, Ibi Odo, 2027. I think all of these players, we're expecting to develop more, aren't we? Especially towards the back end of this season. We've been very complimentary of them. Maybe not as a fan base, but the coaching staff and the powers above them. They've been very complimentary of like Oscar Wanin, for example. Manny Fernandez had a £1 million bid from Norwich in January. We're not going to transfer list him now, are we, when his contract expires in 2027 as well? Was there like names of players that you were expecting to see specifically, or just more names than what there is?
Well, let's be honest. I think obviously, you know, if anybody wants to go back and see what I've done, what we all done on our retain list is, you know, Will Blackmore. If he's happy being a number two, because I don't think he's going to be a number two, number one. If he's happy being a number two, then I think that's a waste of his career, if I'm honest. And I would, for him, I'd be looking to go elsewhere. Harley Mills, keep. Rio, I don't know nothing about
him. Dale, I just want to, just on that, if he's happy being a number two, is that not what Jed Steer's done? It's almost a carbon copy, isn't it? Jed Steer spent his life being a number two until he got to 30, and then he became a number one for basically two seasons, didn't he? So do you think that that's had an influence on what Will Blackmore's gone? Well, actually, yeah, if he's done that, I'm sure that as well.
I think there's a lot of difference from being a number two or whatever at Aston Villa and a Premier League club than being at Peterborough United as a third choice. You know what I mean? No disrespect. I actually think he can do better. I think he can be a number one somewhere, like whether it's League Two or whatever, I don't know. But just this is more about Will himself. I don't think he's a shit goalkeeper by any stretch. I just don't think he's tall enough, if I'm honest. But, you know, so I expected him to be on the list or release for himself. Manny, I know we said about the £1 million bid, but fuck, I would have put him out for a transfer, get something to buy him. Cole Johnson, I've had my say about him. I don't think he's the sort of player we should have been keeping. You could go down. Kieran Hayes, we should be keeping him. So, I don't know. Gustav, I know we've only given him like fucking 6 months, but he really does not fill me with confidence. Pemi Adejuro, really? What we're going to get out of him? David Kamara. There's Eddie Fox. I know he's young, but at least some of them, you see a little bit of they're coming in. They play a bit there. I don't see enough of these players here to sort of fill me with confidence next season. Whether they was to be sort of go out on loan or whatnot, available for loan, but they're not even that. It's just under contract. But that, to be fair, the under contract could mean so many different things. But overall, I was expecting to see more from the season we had. I was expecting to see more players on the transfer list without a shadow of that. You know, the under 21s, the under 18s, don't really have much interest to me, to be fair, because I haven't really seen them. you know what I mean? You might as well put the fucking women like released on there if you want, for as much as I give a shit. But, and that's not saying I don't like the women's football. I keep saying, comes to Peterborough, I'll go and watch them. But yeah, no, there's too many names on there that I think we should have put on available for transfer, because that squad just ain't strong enough, in my opinion.
Some serious damage control there, Del. And I think for me, Lodz is right. And I am a true optimist. Optimism courses through my veins. And I think Lodz is bang on in the fact that we are expecting these players to develop into the next sort of phase of, if you want to call it, the next sort of period of Peterborough United, and some of these players, you look at Oddo, you look at Hayes, you look at Malik, if we can tie him down, Collins, if we can keep him, Gustav, Manny or Wallen, or even both, Dornelly, Mills, these players we're expecting to develop and keep, and they are going to flourish, and that's why they're here until 27. Yes, it looks bleak now, 100% after the season that we've just had. But as I said, you know, this season was so much change. They're going to have another pre-season to add onto their resume with us. Now, I'm not saying we're going to be anything special. Don't get me wrong. I think next season is going to be bleak, very bleak. But there was promise from a lot of the players that are on the retained section that we have seen in glimpses over the course of the season. Can we bring that out of them? Is that why there is less names on the release and more on the retain? Can we manage and bring the best out of these players? I don't know. Is the honest answer? We'll have to see after pre-season. I'm not falling for a pre-season trap again. No, I'm not doing it. After pre-season, first game, second game, third game, we can assess. There's plenty of time. Strengthening the right areas, probably need a goalkeeper. We need a Poku replacement. Whether Hayes and Oddo are going to be our two starting wingers, or we're signing a new winger to start. We'll need a number 10 if Malik goes, and we'll need another striker. sign depth, invest into the squad, and we'll see where we end up. But I think there's promise in some of the players that say that maybe it will be mid-table mediocrity. I don't see us pushing for playoffs. But look, I don't think any of us expected to be pushing for playoffs 2 seasons ago now at the start. And I think it was surprising that we got there at the start of the season. If we took players at the start of the season, then great. But then obviously we expected to get there as the season went on. I've seen stranger things happen. So let's see. I'm not overly excited, but Lodz is completely right in the fact that we are expecting these players to develop and to rob them of the opportunity to develop by transfer listing them after 1 season, I think probably would be a little bit harsh.
Yeah, I think that my concern with the under contract section is that there's 22 players there, and I think that I could pick the starting 11 from those that are there with maybe one or two subs. The rest are ultimately players that we just haven't seen, so can't judge. Now, does that mean that they might not be good enough? Potentially. Ultimately, this is where we're at, isn't it? Is that everything feels like a bit of a gamble at the moment. There's not really any certainties. Like, we've discussed Oscar Wallin and Emmanuel Fernandez. Are they going to hit the ground running next season? Now, you hope that after a year's worth of experience that they now do have that experience, they can carry that into a new season. You think about Dornelli and Johnston competing for the right-back position. Fantastic. Harley Mills and Adebisi competing for the left-back position. Then as you start to move further forwards, you're getting to names that how can you have any confidence in them? Somebody like Joe Andrews, for example, he looked good for 20 minutes when he came on at the weekend, but that could have been the ultimate shiny thing. Like we've said before, is that he comes on, he's a left-footed midfielder, he's big, he looks athletic, all of those sorts of things. People like Eddie Fox signed a professional contract. He must be a good enough footballer to sign a professional contract. Pemi Adeyemi, like Dell says, David Kamara, both of those two have been out injured all season. How can we confidently say that they're going to have a positive impact on our squad? I just can't see it myself. So we know that we're going to make signings. We have to make signings. But for me, I'm not the person that is going to go out and be like, right, yeah, we should sign this person. We should sign this person. That's not what tickles my fancy, because if you throw enough shit at the wall, some of it will stick eventually. I'd rather just stick with concrete evidence. This is the player that's coming in. Right, let's analyze them that way.
I just want to go back to what I said regarding like these players and giving them the opportunity to develop. I do think they will develop to a good level. I don't think we will get relegated next season. But what I would say, and this is a point that Ashley makes quite a lot, when you transition from one season to the next, you expect the previous players that were kind of on the fringe. So for this season, you'd be talking about Odo, Hayes, Ryan de Havilland, players like that. You expect them to make the step up and be the key players the following season. We lost Mason Clark, Ronnie Edwards, Harrison Burrows, Josh Knight, some really, really good players. And then we had, you know, Kwame Poku, Kiprianu, Archie Collins. We're now losing Poku, Kiprianu, Ricky J. Jones. I honestly think going into next season, there's only two players that I would consider better than average, and that's Archie Collins and Malik Mothersill. And I don't think anyone's confident enough to say they'll be here next season. I worry that we don't have the quality to help develop these youngsters through. I say youngsters, they're not complete youngsters, are they? They're early 20s. But they need to develop themselves to a level where, you know, we could sell them for profit essentially this time next year. And I don't think they're going to get there without having some quality in that squad. We used Kwame Poku quite a lot this season to get us out of trouble. I worry that we haven't got anyone to do that for us next season.
100% agree. The you know, all of these players, let's be honest, they're professional footballers for a reason. But I'll keep going back to looking at it. The squad doesn't look very strong, in my opinion. It really don't look that strong. But quite a lot of the individuals, some of them will come and shine and they'll do well. But what you said about the two better players on here are Mothersill and you know, what's his name? Archie Collins. So
are we going to do the same as what we had this year? Let them come to the end of the contract and then they go on a free or whatever, because we've never been in that situation. Wolves finances never bother me because, as I've said a million times, I can't control it. It has nothing to do with me. What we make out of players don't go in my back pocket, so I don't give a fuck. But what, you know, are we going to be stuck by letting two of our better players go again on a free? Or have we offered them contract? If we have offered them contract, it would be nice to be told that we've offered X amount of players or whoever it is a new contract, you know, just to stop the rumours that we're potentially starting, if that makes sense. But I just keep looking through this, and the more I look at it, the more I'm feeling for where we are next. For anybody that was listening, Ashley nearly had his chair go right up his arsehole. That was funny.
But it wasn't my chair. It was my charging cable for my laptop. I tipped my laptop backwards.
Exactly what I said. It looked like you would like whatever. But, you know, I think we can move on to Fergie now. Now the retained list has come out, it's not that great to me. And I think we all heard what Fergie said, is need to sit down and have a think and this, whatever, see what's going to happen. But if I was Fergie and seeing this retained squad, that obviously is part of, now he's obviously going to have restrictions, what he can do, what he can't do. Is he going to be here next season? Is he happy? Again, I'm chucking a rumour out there. He may be happy. We're here to talk about things and sort of like, speculate potentially, but something ain't, I don't know. I'm not feeling the confidence of Fergie's happy with this. What's anybody else's view?
Yeah, I think you're right. And it's not so much about being happy. I've just sat here and thought whilst reading through some of the questions that we've had submitted. And actually, if you're one of those players on that under contract list, do you not think that gives you a massive confidence boost that actually your manager's decided that he does want to keep you? Because ultimately, his press conferences after the games against Rotherham and after the games against Mansfield haven't been the most complimentary, have they? And actually, it's kind of like a little bit of a turnaround and to see as many. Like, we're all surprised. I think that the majority of the people that listen and have responded to us are surprised in that actually to have that vote of confidence from your manager, from what is a very successful League One manager as well, that should hopefully show the trust that Darren Ferguson is putting in these players. Now, like I said just recently, is that we will sign players. We need to sign a goalkeeper. Potentially, we think that centre-back's already done. We need a midfielder. We need a winger. We need a cam. We probably need a striker. So that's six there already reeled off. Are we going to be able to find those six that satisfy Fergie's needs? And like Lod says, are they going to be the quality that's going to help bring up the overall quality of the squad? Only time will tell. But I think that from Fergie's point of view, he's given a real push to these players to say, right, you weren't good enough. Come back in the end of June, whenever it is that they start pre-season, and show me that you are going to be good enough and that I can continue. Because ultimately, like you say, Dale, there's every chance that if Fergie doesn't get what he wants from DMAC, that he walks out the door before the 1st of August and the season starts.
I get that. Because he has been quite, without naming names, he was quite like skeet-seeving about a few of them, that how poor they've been, and he's seen a side that he didn't want to see of them. So if he is keeping these players on contract and giving them another chance, like, I've got faith in you. We know he's got the bollocks to put some of these on the list, because he's obviously done Malik, for fuck's sake, Brad. You know, so I don't know. I still think there's a reason why he's keeping them, and I don't think it's because of their football ability. I just think we ain't going to sign as many players as we normally do, and we're going to have to make do, which if that's how it is, that's how it is. I'm just giving my opinion. I don't think it's a strong enough squad. You know, the likes of, we'll be going week in, week out again. We're going away, hopefully. But yeah, if I'm honest, I'm a little bit shocked still that there's not more players on the list, and I'm I go back to Ferg again. I'm not convinced that he's 100% happy with what he's got or what he's got to work with from some of the conversation, not conversation, some of the interviews he's had of late. So, you know, it's the start of the end, if that makes sense, of the season, the start of all the speculation until we come up to the fixtures coming out and then, like, looking forward to what games are going to and whatever. So, yeah, let's just talk about everything and see where we go. But let's see what happens. There's a long time between that and the beginning of August. So, lots to talk about, eh?
I think there's plenty of time, as you've just said there, Dav. There's plenty of time for investment to come in. Do I think it's going to come in? Or I don't know. But we've got a whole summer ahead of us. As Del said, it's a long time. I think if we look back to Fergie, I think it's very telling that he's not happy. His interview against Rotherham, where he sort of he said, look, I need to go away and think to myself and get some more clarity. I don't know. I think it was awfully telling as to where his head's at with it all. I don't think he's happy with the squad. His reactions have been very clear with that as well. He's not happy with the squad. He's not happy in the role necessarily. If we look at, if we dive deeply maybe into some of the things that he said, obviously taking it on face value, it's a rough season mentally for everybody. He could have just been frustrated and said it and there's no meaning behind it, but you can't help but worry when that's the reaction of your manager. And that really is the crux of it, really, is I don't think Darren Ferguson is happy with this squad. However, he's done wonders with teams before. Let's see where he can get us and over this preseason and hope that at the start of next season, Darren Ferguson's our manager. And that's the main thing is happiness is a big thing. If he isn't happy with this squad, where will he leave? And if he leaves, then where do we go? Because past tells us that we struggle to work with a manager that really isn't Darren Ferguson. So what happens next if that's a possibility? Right now he's our manager, and I'm excited for next season. And it's a long period of time. Let's see how the summer window gets on and maybe we can build a squad that Fergie is happy with. Do I see that happening? Probably not. But you've got to take it on face value and be optimistic is the big thing. You have to be optimistic that maybe something will happen. We'll have a change of fortune and sign some players. But who knows? Who knows? That's for the summer to tell. And when we start next season, we'll have a better vision as to where we are.
If we're assuming that the reason we can't sign more quality players this summer is because of purely financial reasons, we do have to remember that we could potentially be getting £1 million in or around £1 million in if Coventry or Sheffield United get promoted to the Premier League from player sell-ons. So I do wonder if everything's sort of being held up by that slightly. And by that, I mean, you know, potential contract offers. Maybe we can't offer as much money as we'd like to, but if we have that £1 million coming in, that might free up a little bit more cash to pay them a little bit more money. Likewise with transfers, Fergie was quite cryptic with his comments regarding having a think. He might well have been promised some extra money if we get that £1 million in, or however much it is from the two clubs. Otherwise, I don't know where the money's coming from. Part of me still thinks we're gearing up to sell Harley Mills until he signs a new deal. I will continue to think that. And to be honest, it makes the most sense. I think he's probably our most valuable asset at the moment. His stock is high after what he did at Wembley in the back end of the season. And I think his overall character is great as well. I don't see many flaws in his potential. And I think there'll be a lot of clubs sniffing for him right now. So I can imagine the temptation for us to flog him for a few million and save our transfer window this summer is there.
Yeah, I think you're right on Harley Mills. I think there's got to be a concern there that he doesn't sign a contract and then potentially he's gone before the 2nd of August. Does move us on quite nicely to some of the tweets that we've had, or posts, should I say, on X. So I'm just going to read through some of them that are more statements And then I'm also going to come back to you on hopefully some quick fire answers. So Malcolm 1866 8825 says, if that retained list is the backbone of our squad next season, we are well and truly fucked, which I think that a few of us have definitely shared sentiment in. Andrew Griffin has said, got to say that retained list is why Fergie walks in the summer. Again, a point that we've all mentioned. It's concerning. First question, and I would like to hear from everybody on this one, from For Fuck's Sake TK. What position is your priority What is your priority number one position to sign? Dell, tell me first, please. One position only. It's literally one sentence.
Fucking goalkeeper, obviously.
Lods, tell me.
Well, yeah, goalkeeper. After the news today, the goalkeeper. But I love a midfielder. I think they're the most important position on the pitch. So I do think that Archie Collins needs a decent midfield partner if that's what we're going for next season.
Yeah, goalkeeper, 100%. First bit of business in the summer. For me, has to be.
I am going to stick to the Peterborough United way. And I'm going to say that we need to sign an attacking player because that will get people excited. We need somebody that's going to score us 20, 25 goals. Get that locked in. Get people excited. Get the taste that Peterborough United are back and doing what they do best. And that does link me relatively nicely into the next question from Alex Coombs, who has asked, what position can we not afford to get wrong this season?
I'll go first again. Striker. Or a position up front, because we haven't had, apart from Pogu playing half a season, we normally have 2, 3, 4 decent quality players up the front there, but we've not really had it. I think we need to get a crowd pleaser. As you know, you just alluded to, Ash, to be fair. We need a fucking good crowd pleaser to get bums off seats. That's what we can't get wrong. I could have took the easy option, said goalkeeper, but nah. An attack, somebody attacking to you know, get us happy.
I'll go for centre-back purely because we saw how we started the season just gone with Oscar Wallin and Emmanuel Fernandez. If we start the next season with the similar form from them two, the only option we've got on the bench is George Nevitt as it stands. And looking at what he's done the last few games, that's not someone we want to be relying on. So if we're going with four defenders into next season, I think we need to sign one very good one. To strengthen that whole defensive department.
I think it shows how far we've fallen when you could say any position on the pitch and there is an argument for every single position on the pitch. It's really scary. For me, it's whoever we replace Poku with. We've all stressed how scared we are to go into next season without that bit of quality. Although I think if Kieran Hayes and Kieran Hayes especially, if he can get a level of clinicality into his game, I think he can be the crowd pleaser that Dale wants. But we need somebody who's going to score goals, because we've not necessarily have struggled with that, but a lot of the goals came from Poku, and he's going. So the Poku replacement for me. But any position, we've got to get right. Central midfield, as Lod said as well, so important. And if we're going to play De Havilland and Collins next season, for argument's sake, say that's our midfield too. Like, Collins is good, but De Havilland is bang average, like no excitement. Six player. So there's my answer.
Yeah, I'm going to agree on that, Max, and think that centre midfield probably is the most important position. I think that, like Lods has said, it's the engine of the pitch, isn't it? It's the focal point. And let's say that Collins does go, like you say, Max, Donny, Brian Brady, Joe Andrews, Ryan De Havilland. None of those three are going to set the world alight and run the game for you, are you? So, very important position to fill. Next one up from Fleetwood Zach. Quite an easy one. I'd like each of you to give a rating out of 10 of just how fucked we are. I'll go first on that one. I'm going to go 4 out of 10 at the moment, because I think I'm going to go 4 out of 10 purely because it can't be any worse than this season, can it?
You know what? I could not even go with a number. I could just go proper fucked. you know. But you know what? I know we've been quite negative about this, but let's try and be positive and give them the benefit of the doubt that we're going to get it right and we're going to have a better season next year. I'm just going to go middle of the road. I'm going to go 5. Determine what is proper fucked. You know, we need to live to our means. I know it should only be a line long, but, you know, if we're trying to do what we're doing at the moment to sort of get the bills paid and get all that rid of so we can, like, in a couple of years' time, we can then invest properly on players, then so be it. That's fine. Then we're not proper fucked. We're actually in a good place. But if we are just cutting costs and think this is going to be a good enough squad for promotion next year, then we are proper fucked. So I'm going to just go a middle of the road average 5.
Are we saying that 10 is proper, proper fucked, like bottom of the league, and 0 is winning the league? I'll go for a five. I think the fact we've still got Darren Ferguson is a godsend, really. If we were to lose him this summer, then we'll be proper, proper fucked.
Yeah, I've just thought about that reality, and I think I'm changing my answer. To reply to your question, Ash, I think it can. And I'm gonna go with a 7. I'm in desperate need of a signing to get me off my feet. And the end of that season was so bad. The season's been so bad, it's so hard for me to be optimistic. So I'm gonna go with a 7. But please, Posh, sign someone to get me off my feet. Well, it's not hard, is it really? But just anyone.
So I can't answer this question because I have a bit of bias on this one. Wombling 3 has asked, and I will get the three of you to answer this one. Would you rather fight 1 Ashley-sized Clive or 12 Clive-sized Ashleys? Delt, you're up.
I don't fucking fight anybody, so I'm copying that. Fuck fighting, mate. I'm too old for this shit, so go and fight amongst yourselves, you little fucking silly sausages.
Ashley, I'd like to know what bias you have on this. Have you got some inside information? I'd like to know your answer. What are you going for?
Well, I would pick 1 Ashley-sized Clive because, you know, the bigger the better, right?
I'm going for the same thing, but just purely because 12 is too many. I think if it was like 5 or 6, maybe I'd fight the 5 or 6 Clive-sized Ashleys. But yeah, 12 is too many. I'll choose the giant Clive. Thanks.
I was actually attacked by Ashley at Rotherham. He actually abused me with a fork. So I will pick 1 Ashley size. One Ashley size Clive. I'll take the big Clive because I don't think even a small Ashley. Imagine 12 Ashleys with 12 wooden forks at Rotherham. I'd have been fucked.
This is a good one from Kian Gilmore. Who would your captain be from the players who are retained?
Malik Mother Seal, based on the fact I think it might control him a little bit, because I'm looking at the rest of the list and there's not really many that fill me with confidence. So what we've got at the moment, I think it's already clear that what's his name, Archie Collins, it's not really worked for him when he was captain. I would go Malik Mother Seal. Probably not the choice that majority of people would go, but that's me, that's what I'm going for.
Ashley, I think I'm going to steal yours. I'm going to go for Harley Mills. I think he's got a great head on his shoulders. I think it will only increase his value. And if you look at the way he communicates on the pitch, I know we mentioned that he moans quite a lot, but some captains do. I think he is a leader in that dressing room. And I think going into next season, I think that's only going to be emphasised with the big characters that are coming out of the dressing room. So I think he'll naturally move into that role. And I think giving him captaincy is probably a good thing to do.
I think you've both said my captain and vice captain for next season in Harley Mills and Malik Mother Seal. Whichever way round they are doesn't bother me. Either one. I mean, but it's going to increase their value, both of them. regardless of who's captain. They're both young. They both have a good head on their shoulders. They both are very vocal on the pitch. So either way around for me. But it has to be Malik or Harley Mills for me for next season.
I am going to throw another option in, and that was somebody that had what was a pretty electric August and September and into October, and go Manny Fernandez. I did say that he would be our club captain by the end of the season. Last season, the first time he got the captain's armband, he got himself sent off at Wickham. So hopefully that doesn't happen again. But yeah, I think between Manny, Malik, Harley Mills, James Dornelli, ultimately, I think that's probably going to be our leadership group at the moment, unless the likes of Sam Hughes have signed and we bring in some more experience. Next up, couple of statements from people. Matt PUFC, after a miserable season, things look somehow even more shit. Usually the time between the seasons is full of hope and excitement, but I only feel dread and misery knowing in August we'll have Otto on the wing and Chris Conclark fighting for the number 10 role. Can we end next season already? Matt has then come in with another one, said, I know it's only day one, but the lack of ambition is pathetic. We're on course for 3 non-league signings, a lone keeper, a midfielder, and maybe a centre-back. We could spend the next few years bouncing around relegation, basically the new Wobblers. And then AD Moles has said to use one of his tweets in reply to something. I've gone in. I genuinely just can't find it. The only thing that I can see is that he suggested going to the pub to Dan Wood. So, you know, and then he's replied to a picture of Aaron Chapman. Chapman was 6'28" and rarely came for a cross. So hopefully we don't sign him. I think he's at Spalding at the moment, isn't he, Aaron Chapman? I think that would be quite the jump up. Obviously, Harry made comment about Bilo earlier that goalkeepers don't peak until their late 20s. And AD again said, not sure his heart could take 7 more years of Bilo. Well, goodness gracious me. And I think that is probably about that. Has anybody else got anything they want to add?
Not on questions, but I just, you know, a few people there, statements are saying, oh, they're not looking forward to the season already. I can't wait. I genuinely am fucking looking forward to it. I'm hoping that this shit squad of players that I'm looking at here prove me wrong, and I hope, you know, it's entertaining. I hope it's good. You know, I hope Fergie stays. So whilst we've been given our views and what we think, it don't necessarily mean that's what we want. It's what we potentially think. I'm hoping it is going to be a good season. I'm hoping Fergie does say. I'm hoping we do sign a couple of quality players. I'm hoping that all of these players actually prove me fucking wrong and they are outstanding next season. You know, I'm looking forward to it. So, yeah, I'm bring the fucking season on. You know, what's the next what's the next point of looking forward? Is it the what do you call it? The release?
We'll get a kit launch soon. Then we'll get fixture releases the 25th of June, I think we've said.
I like the 25th.
And by then, we'll be into pre-season games.
We will. So, you know, we've got things to look forward to, but I am genuinely looking forward to the start of the season, and I can't wait for Plymouth away, first game of the season.
Yeah, I have a comment to make that's, I wouldn't say it's a positive comment, but maybe just a caveat to some of the negativity that we've had on the back of this retaining list that's come out. And that is, if we are no longer competing financially with some of the clubs around us, maybe we should just take a step back and remember that we were only in League One because we were rich. So if it's now become apparent that we're no longer rich, are we now just falling down to where we naturally should be, which is bouncing between League Two and League One like we were before McAntony came in? There's a lot of young fans out there that don't know any different to McAntony and the money that he's put in. But for those of us that remember the time before McAntony came in, we'll remember how bleak those times were. So perhaps we are just now falling into our natural area. So if we can continue playing entertaining football and see some good talent come through, at least that's better than what we had before McAntony came in.
Yeah, you're right, Lods. I can see it happening. I don't have an issue with it. It's just an acceptance that sometimes the ride is over and League One has been a great ride. The Championship was good fun, but maybe we need a little bit of time in League Two just to like properly reset, I think. It would be a shame if that were to happen in the next season, but it is what it is at the end of the day. It's only a game of football. That does nicely bring us to an end. I just wanted to say on a personal note, Thank you to everybody that listens. This was only meant to be 30 minutes long. It's looking like it's going to be over 50 minutes, which those that have answered the survey said they love the 50 minutes. They love the hour long episodes. Harry wants under 30 minutes. Nobody really listens to Harry though, do they? So here we are. We've got another 50 minute long episode for you all. Thank you to everybody that's answered the survey. There are some really good answers. We've had answers from Exodus Geohagen. We've had George Nevitt drop in. We've had Mallet Mothersill drop in. D-Max dropped some comments in, allegedly. Obviously, we'll take those ones all with a little bit of a pinch of salt. But 136 responses at the time of recording. There is lots of good, positive feedback that we can take. We do want to continue this. We want to grow this. We want to make this into something really special that all the fans can appreciate and enjoy. And, you know, other than that, all I've got left to say is up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.
Thank you all for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Up the Poshcast. Let us know your feedback. Give us any ideas for topics you would like to discuss or any questions you'd like us to answer. Up the Poshcast.
We've made out that Clive's like really, really small, but he's not small, is he?
Oh, he is.
Oh, no, he is.
He is.
Not to be fair, he's small.